Welcome to the Athletic Motion Golf Podcast. As a golfer, now more than ever, you have access to all sorts of swing advice and swing tips, and that can often be confusing and conflicting. This podcast is going to help you cut through all the clutter. You'll understand what really happens in the golf swing based on what we've learned from measuring the very best golfers in the world, but most importantly, how that information can help your swing. And we're going to try to do it all in 15 minutes or less. This episode is brought to you by AMG Plus, the best way to train your swing online. AMG Plus includes our four key training systems: the swing system, the speed system, the short game system, and the soon to be released putting system. You also get access to our private forum where Sean and I, along with our other AMG certified instructors, review your swings and check your progress as you move through the checkpoints. To learn more about it, just visit athleticmotiongolf.com/AMG-PLUS to get started today. Golfers are coming out of hibernation, and one of the questions we seem to get always this time of year from just about everyone, we get in our schools, we get in our online lessons, we get it online, is how do I add more speed?
Right? Or distance or whatever.
Or distance or hit it farther or you name it. What makes the ball go farther? And, you know, there are a lot of things you can do to add more speed. And there's a lot of those things that aren't going to be good for your golf game. So just adding speed to a swing is not that hard to do. Adding speed and hitting it better and making the ball go farther, so more balls, club head speed, is what produces the distance. Now, doing that and hitting it in a place where you can find it, and preferably hitting it in the fairway, now we're talking about some real changes that you have to make. And there's not really, that we've seen, one training aid or one set of training aids that will do that. Right? There's no easy button for that as far as, okay, I want to make a good golf swing while it's going much faster. If you don't build the good golf swing part of that, you're not going to enjoy the faster part of it.
No, it's true. It's become real prevalent in the last few years. You see it, golfers hitting it farther on TV, right? These guys are hitting it a long ways.
But that's just because of the ball.
Yeah, exactly. That's another conversation. And so we could go down a lot of roads with this, but the overarching theme, I think, is that you need to build yourself a golf swing that's functional first. Decent plane, hit the club face in the center of the face, good face to path relationship, because that's how you play good golf. Consistent, consistent face to path relationship. You got a predictable shot shape. Things are in the right place when they need to be as far as where your body's positioned, so you don't hurt yourself. All these fundamental things that need to be there with what you have now, with the strength and the speed that you have now. Is your sequence good? It's so many things that need to be in place before you start even thinking about how do I add more club head speed to this? And then even on the dovetail off of that, right away you go start to grab some of these speed training devices. Have you made sure you're not going to hurt yourself? Do you have the strength, flexibility kind of where it needs to be so that you can do some of these things without hurting yourself? Maybe there's a reason why you're not going as fast as you should be. So there's so many things that need to be done before you pick up. I mean, we're not picking on these devices, but there's a few of these speed train devices now. First of all, they don't have a club face on them. We can talk about that in a minute. But just to randomly, I'm not hitting far enough. Oh, let me buy this so I can hit it farther, is probably the last piece of the puzzle. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, there's been no data done on these devices. Just the marketing, you gain 5 miles an hour, whatever the case may be. And we're not singling any of these out because there's a lot of them out there now. And they have been for a while. And we see a lot of golfers who will have them in their bags or said they've used them in the off season, then will come in and will actually put them on gears, and they're not swinging anywhere close to what they swing those sticks. Nowhere close, because now they have to manage a club face and a path. And that's golf. So you and I have done it. We've used those products. We've swung them, right? We haven't trained with them, but we've swung them, and you can make them go real fast. If you're an athlete, you've played baseball, You know, I play basketball. I'm not really relatable to making a stick go fast in basketball, but we're both athletes, or certainly we're athletes, and you can make them go fast and not have anything that's going to help you when you stand on the first tee, because the contortions and the body flopping all over the place, and that just looking at the wrist angles when golfers make those things go fast, it's like it's completely unplayable. So when we see players come in and they want to gain speed and they want to know how they can hit it farther, first thing we always look at is, okay, what are you doing currently? Like, what is their smash factor?
You know, and then go there, from there, right? That's like, that's the first thing, right?
Number one, let's look at, you know, how many holes do we need to plug with the speed that you have right now that can gain you more distance, right? It would be like, you know, how did David Goggins describe it? I would be how he would describe a Thanksgiving eaten dude, a big Thanksgiving guy, right? It would be like
mother
me,
trucker.
Okay, I want to get, yeah, mother trucker, all right? So if I want to get in better shape and I want to thin down and look good, and, you know, it's like me going to a doctor and going, okay, I want to lose 100 pounds. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go build a brand new gym in the back of my house. I'm going to get, you know, all this equipment and all that, and then that'll get me thinner. Well, no, the first thing I need to do is to take care of my diet, right? And then maybe move a little bit, maybe do some push-ups and some sit-ups, right? Let's start with that first.
Foundational stuff.
Like a $50,000 gym or however much gyms cost now, just buying the gym isn't going to make me thinner. It's like taking the fork away from my mouth is going to be the first thing that's going to make me thinner. That's the lowest hanging fruit, mm-hmm. Not investing in all these other tools and stuff, which may or may not help. Might may get hurt, going back to your point, right? So you want to take care of the lowest hanging fruit first, you know, like, you know, if your car's got four flat tires, you don't go looking for a V8 to put in it.
A bigger engine.
It's not going to work out too well. Same, we see that analogy all the time with golfers. You got some flat tires in your golf swing. Let's get some air in those tires and get the car moving right in the direction you want to do it, for we really try to make it go around the corner faster.
You know, and it goes back to why we designed our swing system and our speed system the way that we did. You know, we've been doing this a long time. We think about this stuff 24 hours a day. So we said, let's the guys that are in our AMG Plus, guys and gals that are in our AMG Plus program, they have access to the AMG swing system and the AMG speed system. So we say, hey, let's get you through the swing system first, which is the fundamental movements of the golf swing: grip, setup, stance, pivot, swing plane, hit the middle of the club face. And then once they kind of graduate out of that, we have them move into what we call the speed system, which is motion drills, sequence drills, stepping drills. And we've got our kind of our speed booster drill in there, which teaches them when the speed should happen in the backswing so they can ramp up the speed in the downswing. There was a method to our madness there, because we knew that we have to get these movement patterns in a place where they're hitting the ball predictably first in the middle of the club face without hurting themselves. And then we can start adding some of these drills that we put into the speed system. And you know, once you would graduate out of that, I would say, okay, maybe let's start adding some of these. It's called under speed. It came from baseball. This little bit underweight, little bit overweight, right, of the club that you're swinging. And by doing that
Dr. House?
He did it with baseballs. Did Tom House did it with lighter and heavier baseballs. And it was done in baseball bats too, I believe. Don't quote me on that. And then, you know, they're bringing that into golf, and it can work. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying you've got some things to do before you just go out and start doing that. The other part of this, I think that people might be missing the boat on, is a lot of these speed training devices now don't have a club face attached to them. So, and you mentioned it earlier with the wrist angle. So the way I kind of got clued into it, I had a junior golfer years back when one of these products first came out. He was good player. He's about 16 years old. Hit it plenty far, but you know, everybody was hitting far, including me. Kid hit this nice tight draw. So over Christmas, I think he got it for Christmas. He got one of these training devices with no club face on it. He comes back he's like, man, I'm swinging the club faster. I was like, awesome, let's look at it. He's hitting the ball 9 miles to the right. He's a right-hander because he changed the way his wrist motion worked. So he's really extended in his lead wrist coming down now because he could swing the sticks faster that way. But when you add a club face to the mix, that club face is wide open at that point. And it's happened. I even know, I mean, you get some inside baseball sometimes just being in the business. There's tour players that this has happened to. They had to put these things down because it changed the way they were swinging the club, and they make their money hitting the middle of the sweet spot and hitting the ball straight. So I think there's probably a way to use them better than some people are using them, but it's missing that offset club head off the shaft. This is not a baseball bat anymore. The weight is, the head is offset of the shaft of a golf club. And when you don't have to manage that, you can do some pretty funky things in an effort to get more speed. And I think that's what you can run into if you're not careful.
So we've had a couple of tour players last year, in fact, tell us that they're never going to try to work on club head speed again without a club in their hands for that reason. Because they spend too much time trying to hone and sharpen their golf swing for all the other shots in the game, right? At most, what, 14 tee balls with a driver at most? A lot of three woods now being used. But, you know, they're just not going to do it anymore without having a club head because it has a club face in their hands. And, you know, like you said, the over-under training is not bad at all. In fact, there's a lot of evidence that says it can help you move better, but what are you moving better? Are you making a bad swing go better, or are you making a good swing go better? And that's where I think a lot of disconnect is when you do see your favorite pro and maybe he's doing a certain speed exercise and then applying that to maybe you're a 15 handicap or 12 or whatever the case may be, whose tendency is to mishit the club already or enough of mishits to produce enough curve to make you hit those foul balls every couple rounds or every couple times around, then making those foul balls go farther into the yard. You say it all the time, you go from backyard to front yard.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Right. That's not fun.
I live on a golf course down here in Reunion. I've yet to have one in the front yard, but it probably could happen.
And I played with enough major leaguers that just blazing club head speed. Like it's a legit blur. Like you don't see the club coming down. These guys are used to swinging those big bats, knocking out of the ballpark.
Okay, you think, man, golfers swing fast? Get next to it like a major league baseball player.
Not even the same ballpark.
It's like okay, this is different.
But for the most part, they have no idea where it's going to go. Right. So if you want that kind of club head speed, maybe you want to compete in your club championship long drive or whatever. You know, all the more power to you. But if you're trying to improve your golf swing and hit longer, better shots, then you've got to have the sequencing. You've got to have the face to path control. You've got to have all those things in place and then make those things go faster, right? That's much easier to do and much easier to play with. We say it all the time. Good swings are much easier to perform than bad swings, especially bad swings going really fast. Because now you're trying to manage a lot of compensations at a much higher rate of speed.
Yeah, and if you and one thing you can really do yourself a favor, and you don't have to go to us, a lot of good teachers out there, but go to someone, if you're going to work on, if you want to know what you're doing, go to someone that has force plates, a 3D system, and a TrackMan, let's say. You've got kind of everything covered there. You've got the ground with the feet, you've got gears for the body, you've got the club with gears, and you've got the ball speed. With the TrackMan, and you've got your bases covered there to see where your current power leaks are. You can get yourself a roadmap then to gain. I mean, obviously, I can't give a number, but so many players have 5 to 10 miles an hour in them easily from what they're doing now just by fixing what they're currently doing without getting any stronger, any faster. Let's say you just added 5 miles an hour, and you were hitting the heel before. Now you're hitting the sweet spot. Now you're adding 5 miles an hour to a higher smash factor. I mean, you'll be shocked at how much farther you hit it. You don't have to change your current body to even do that. And most people would be really happy with just that. They'd be like, oh, I'm good now. So the other benefit, the face to club. The club face to club path gets improved, right? So you hit the ball straighter and more consistent while you're at it.
The number of guys that we've seen pick up one, two, sometimes three. Three's an exception. Certainly seen it, but it's the exception. But usually one to two. Two's starting to be more common than one. Of shorter clubs, meaning, you know, if they normally have an 8-iron at their club and most of their par fours, now they're hitting nines and wedges just from tightening up their efficiency, meaning their smash factor, getting their face to pass. So those are much smaller differences now, and making the body that they have perform more efficiently, more optimally, sequence better, right? That's starting to become a normal occurrence. And they're like, just like you said, like, I'm good.
This is what I was after in the first place.
Like, I don't need to go work out five times a week now. I'm good. I'd rather play golf than work out. And, you know, we see all the time that, you know, guys will come into us and they'll say, like the point you were making with force plates and 3D and launch monitors. We'll have guys all the time tell us they've been getting lessons and haven't used any of those things. So they'll tell us that, you know, they've been working on their ground forces. Really? That's awesome. Well, what have you been using to work on your ground forces?
How are you doing that?
Well, we don't have force plates. We don't have, you know, we've just been kind of, this is my idea. So, okay, so you really don't know what you're doing with your ground forces. Okay, I've been working on getting more open. Well, how open were you before you started getting more open? I don't know. I was just told I needed to get more open. Well,
what's that doing to the club path number?
I mean, I'm working on my face to path. Well, what are you working that on with? Well, you know, I'm just using ball flight. You know, it's like.
Where are you hitting it on the face then? The questions cannot be answered normally.
No. No, and it's, you know, especially the ground force issues. We get guys, we see it all the time. You know, we see videos too, like you guys, and, you know, guys offering ground force advice and pressure advice and recommending you doing this and that. They don't measure anything. It's 100% pure guess on all of that if you're using video. We use video and ground force together all the time, and we're looking and going, this guy's going to be late to his front side. This guy's
you cannot
do
the ground force.
And we're wrong all
it.
The time, and we use it every day.
It's impossible. I mean, when I had a swing catalyst, I could get kind of close, not really, but man, we've got to do force plates now. You can't see the direction of these force vectors and how big they are. This, you cannot do it. And we're not knocking people teaching with video. Just utilize the tool for what it can do and don't try to sell all this other stuff when you can't really see it, because you're not really helping people at that point. You're just kind of guessing, and the golfers are guessing already.
Video is a great tool. We use it all the time. But you also use it to its limitations and not say, we can't see how much somebody rotates on video. We can't say you're 20 degrees rotated. We need you to get you 45. Because we've had those guys come in and they're 35. And they're trying to get to double that.
And it's like, what is it that you're trying to get here? Well, so you sit behind a desk. Yeah, sit behind a desk all day. So we got McElroy, what is he, 50 maybe, open with his pelvis and impact maybe. And you're trying to get to the same as him. It's like we always say.
From a maxed rotated backswing.
Yeah.
From 65 to 70 rotated in the backswing.
We should probably turn the recorder on when we have our, you know, when we're driving to the golf course or the indoor facility that we have. It's like golfers don't, I mean, a normal person doesn't look at Michael Jordan dunk from the foul line and think, oh, yeah. I'm going to work on that. I could dunk from the foul line. They just, in golf, you see someone hitting it, swinging at 120. I've got guys coming in for lessons that are average people working a day job that never even played a sport in their life wanting to swing at 115. It happens all the time. It's like, what? I guess they think there's no limit to the club head speed that they can generate. It's like, well, it has a lot to do with athleticism. There's a lot to strength. There's a lot that goes into this. Not everybody can swing it 115, 120. It's not an unlimited source of speed. But with other sports, people don't think they can hit a baseball 450 feet. It's something about golf where everybody, there's like no limit to the speed that they can generate.
Man, you struck a nerve with me now when you're talking about sports and that. Because you're exactly right. You know, you see LeBron James or whoever, Joker going through the airport. And you don't stand in line next to him going, I could do what he does.
Nope.
Right? They're superhuman. But you stand in line maybe next to David Toms or somebody else, and you may not
recognize
him. Or McElroy.
Not very big.
Not very big. Fit, but, you know, a lot of people are fit. And you're like, okay, I don't really see that superhuman
gene that makes them 6'7", 6'8", 6'9".
So
right?
True.
And you think, okay, I can do that. And then you go watch a video and you're just like, okay. And especially if you watch some YouTube instruction, well, McElroy's key is he has more rib cage tilt or he has more open. Like, no, that's not his key to his speed.
No.
That's not your key to his speed either. Right? You can't discount the athleticism DJ has, Rory has, that Cameron Champ has. You can't distill that down to, I need more rotation to do that.
You hit the nail on the head. I remember playing baseball growing up. There was a kid played for Posen High School, played against, way smaller than me, shorter, and not as didn't weigh as much as me, just a small kid, could throw the baseball like a bullet. Nothing I could do.
There was nothing. You didn't need more side bend?
No, it was just the kid moved really fast. He had abundance of fast twitch muscles. Yep. He could also dunk a basketball. He was 5'8". What you're seeing with like some of these golfers that move really fast, and you think, oh, he's not that much bigger than me. There's way more to it than that. It's just the sheer athleticism. Not everybody is going to be able to swing at 115, 120. It's not going to happen, no matter how many drills you do with these over underweighted clubs or sticks.
The number of under 6 foot guys I see dunk on Instagram now is mind boggling.
I know. I always think they're dunking on a small hoop. They're not.
I knew that there were a handful of people growing up in your county that could dunk. Everybody knew who the dunkers were.
100%.
Every elementary school seems like they have dunkers.
I remember being on the opposing team being like, I hope he dunks today, you know? I just want to see a dunk.
See one.
Even if he dunks on me, I want to see it.
And now it's like every Instagram feed has got a dunker in it, right?
Yeah.
And you even see the girls now are dunking now. So it's like athletes are always going to be better. They're always getting better. I just can't really think of another sport where it hasn't been the case. And, you know, they know more, they train better, they do all those things. So, you know, you have to be realistic with what you try to put your body
realistic. Through. That's a great way to put it. You got to be realistic. And everybody, like I said, at least most people have at least 5 miles an hour in them right now. It's just improving.
At least.
Foundational at least. Movement patterns. A lot of the stuff we have in the speed system, all of these drills that we have, these stepping drills, and learn how to recenter and when to push the ground at the right time with the lead leg and all this kind of stuff that people don't even think about. You know, that kind of stuff right there unlocks 5-10 miles an hour sometimes. I've seen it.
We saw it recently in a school. The sequence is what golfers lose a massive amount of speed in. Poor sequencing. And we see that every single day. There's a guy picked up 8 miles an hour ball speed just from improving his sequence. Nothing else. Like, hey, man, you got to do this a little earlier.
Yeah.
Just that little bit, 8 miles an hour ball speed. So that's what makes the ball go farther. So, you know, plug the leaks first. I mean, yeah, it's fun putting the new training aid in the bag, and it's fun doing all these contorted movements and all that until you get hurt or until it's not fun or until you do it for 6 months and you've gained a mile an hour club hit speed, but you're more crooked. Or, you know, you and I have been down that road many times. I would try anything when I was playing. And, you know, now that we're older and more physically broken, we kind of are looking at it like, you know, with a little bit more of a critical eye, just because we see other people come in who've done the same things. And it's like they've tried and tried and tried, and they haven't gotten the reward from it because those same underlying issues with their golf swing are still present. In some cases, magnified. In some cases, created new issues by trying to add more speed.
Yeah, it's like, let's take your average 15-20 handicap guy, slices the ball. A lot of golfers slice the ball just the way the game is. So that person starts doing speed training, and that's it. Now, granted, some of the drills in these programs, I've seen them, they're pretty good. You know, some drills that help with sequence, but that's not fixing face to path. So like you said, all you end up doing is putting speed on an already poor face to path relationship, you're going to slice the ball worse and farther. And again, you end up in the front yard. So the backers, you've got a whole, you got more problems than you had before. You haven't fixed the swing. And I think it comes right down to everybody wants an easy button. If I just do swing these things faster and faster, I'm going to hit it farther and straighter. It just doesn't work like that. You got to put in the work and learn to make a decent golf swing. Whatever that is, you know, obviously there's different ways to swing a golf club, but I mean, not that many to hit the ball straight and far.
There's not many ways to have your face and path.
There's just not.
No. There's just not a lot of different ways to do it.
Figure that out first. Plug all your leaks. And this, again, the overarching theme of this podcast, we off the rails sometimes, but like, figure out what you're doing first.
As soon as you mentioned that other sport thing, that kind of
triggered
me.
Figure out what you're doing first. Go to somebody that has the tools and the technology to tell you exactly what you're doing. You need an MRI for your swing.
Yeah.
The MRI is the full gamut, is the force plates, dual force plates, a 3D system like a gears, and then some kind of radar. You've got your bases covered. Let's start with the ground. What are they doing with the ground? What are they doing with the body? What are they doing with the wrist angles? Right? Foundational pieces right up through the club, right to the ball. Now, what's the ball speed? What's the smash factor? All right. Golfer A, here's your list of power leaks. You need to go plug all of these first before you try to add any more speed to this, because it's not going to help you. And I know, you know, nobody wants to hear that. Because that's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You might have a year in front of you. You might have 2 years in front of you. I mean, it's just honesty, right? It's changing a golf swing is not easy, but you have to learn what you're doing first instead of just trying to put a lot of club head speed and swinging these sticks fast on this little radar that you put down next to the ball. You're not really, in the long run, are you really helping yourself? I'm not convinced yet.
We haven't seen the evidence of it. I'm sure there's
some. This is all we do, day in, day out.
There's some stories out there, right? But
of course,
we see both sides of the. We see the other side of the coin, I guess I should say. And then we've talked to the best players in the world, the guys who do have the best swings in the world,
and they hear the horror stories. So they see the horror stories.
I'm out on that. I ain't never doing that again.
No club face on this thing affects my wrist angles. I'm not hitting it at many greens and many fairways. Yeah.
That's money out of my pocket.
That's right. Yeah.
There's too much money out there now to be had in professional golf to be experimenting with things that seem good. It needs some data now to back it up.
You got to keep the ball in play so you can hit it again.
And, you know, your time is money too, right? If you're practicing hard and you're diligent at what you do, man, like Sean said, make the investment in your swing to see first exactly what it is you're doing. Every golf coach is going to give you an opinion on what you're doing, but until you measure it, until you know exactly what it is, now you can start to make some educated decisions with you and your coach to, okay, where are the leaks I need to plug first? Where's my speed leak right now? Because we have yet to see, I can't think of one, a player that came in and had no speed leaks and just needed to move faster to gain speed.
Mm-mm.
Very rare exception if they're out there. So chances are you're going to have more than one speed leak that you just got yards in your golf bag right now waiting to be claimed. And before you go down the road chasing other things, chasing that easy button, which is usually a bad road to go down, you've got yards in your bag right now waiting to be claimed. So make the investment in your game, whether it be time, whether it be, you know, maybe a little bit extra money because you got to drive across the state to get measured or whatever the case may be. If you really want to improve and you want to start with the best information possible, make the investment to get that done. And then, you know, you'll have confidence in what you're doing rather than just waiting for the next product cycle to come out.
That's it. And if you guys want to check out some of these programs we're mentioning, we'd love to have you check them out. athleticmotiongolf.com. Click on training and then AMG Plus. And once you get in there and log in, you'll see the swing system and the speed system. You'll have everything you need to kind of build that foundation piece with the swing first, and then add speed on top of that with some of these drills that we have in the speed system. And then from there, you should be on your way to more club head speed and hopefully hitting a little bit straighter.